From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
I'm Trey Nash.
And I'm Jason Epperle.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. We got a couple of guests here this week. You guys are both from the customer service and support division, my team. Why don't you go ahead and kind of introduce yourselves? Tell us what you do. You're in town, both of you, for Tech Ready, right?
Which yes,
is happening
absolutely.
In Seattle this week.
Yep.
Down at the convention center and, well, pretty much all over downtown. Now, what sites are you from? You're both from other sites, not here in Redmond.
Right. I work in Las Colinas, which is a suburb of Dallas, Texas.
Right.
And I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
There you go. So we've got basically three sites primarily here in the U.S. that we do support from. Four.
Fargo.
I always forget Fargo. Fargo's our basically Dynamics and
right. We're opening up some platform positions right there.
Absolutely. Oh, in Fargo, great.
Yeah.
So maybe we should kind of talk about that on the show. So we have an opening right now if people want to apply and do what we do. So let's maybe talk about what we do.
Sure.
So we're all all three of us in the platform support organization, which is essentially Windows. And I've talked before, I do OEM support out here in Redmond, so I'm on the OEM team working with PC manufacturers, basically. But you guys work more in the enterprise space.
Very much so.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, Trey, what's your specialty?
Well, you know, my experience is as a software developer. You know, I'm one of those guys that started banging away on my TI-99/4A back in 1983. Yes, I have gray hair. And, but then went into electrical engineering in school, but then gravitated back to software development and spent pretty much my entire career developing software on the Windows platform for a short while as a contractor for Vista. And then for the last 5 years, I've been on this team. And it's been a change of pace from straight development work, but it's been a lot of fun because, you know, I really get an opportunity to utilize my strengths of having a very broad and wide breadth and approach with the entire system.
Yeah.
And, you know, just anything from kernel mode all the way down to the metal, you know, ACPI, not as much as you guys on OEM, but to a degree, and then just all the way up to the highest level user mode component you could think of, .NET framework.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, pretty much anything that ships in the box, if an enterprise has a problem with it, we are the ones that are the last level, code level support. We're the last step between the serviceability team within Windows that would then provide hot fixes or anything of that nature if they're necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jason, what's your background?
Kind of grew up in the Midwest and went in the military for a few years, did IT pro, so I'm almost the opposite side as not a dev background. Did a lot of Air Force networking / exchange proxy type stuff, came out of the military, joined Microsoft, and been here about 14 years, and I debug Windows. I kind of grew up in the IT pro space at Microsoft, small business server, SBS 4.5, SBS 2000, SBS 2003, and then we switched over. I did networking for a little while and link support, and then switched to debug Windows. And it's been an adventure. I'm doing it a long time and love it.
Yeah. And you would say the same thing about your role. I mean, you do everything all the way from the basic kernel low-level stuff all the way to the top, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a... They divide us up on the cases we're taking based off of what the customer said the problem was. So it's weird, right?
Yeah.
So someone says it's a log-on hang, who knows where that'll end, right? And so the underlying component, maybe I'm waiting on disk, maybe I'm waiting on WMI, user, kernel, .NET, C, driver, it's all over the board.
Yeah, I really find myself that's one of the most rewarding things about this job is just that it's never the same thing twice. I mean, you just get such a wide variety of
if you're working it twice, you did it wrong, right?
Fun stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And you know, I think having Jason and I here together kind of illustrates one of the strengths, I think, of our team, and that is that you do have some people that came up from a development background, and you have some people that came up from an IT pro support background, and each one of those groups of people bring different strengths to the table.
Absolutely.
And builds, you know, this whole of a team that we have.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very interesting dynamic, and it works really well.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun to be able to tell people, like, hey, you know, if you have a question about Windows, there's nobody that knows more about Windows than this team collectively. I mean, we, from top to bottom, have touched probably at some point just every little piece of it. And it's a huge product, right? No one person can know everything about Windows. But collectively, right. You know, we talk about, we got 4 support sites just here in the U.S., and we've debugged pretty much every corner of it at one point or another. So
we know all the broken parts. Exactly. All the working stuff is out of bounds.
Exactly. So now, Tech Ready's happening this week. We talked a little bit about that last week. Are you guys presenting at Tech Ready this week?
Or, yes.
So you're doing a what's your presentation about?
Well, we're both co-presenting in a session called Hardcore WPA.
Oh, and okay.
WPA being Windows Performance Analyzer.
Right. Yeah, we've done some episodes on that before.
Yeah.
But we always get questions about that, so we may want to talk about that.
Amazing tool set.
Yeah.
Amazing tool set. And the sad reality is that, you know, me being a developer, I realized that prior to coming to Microsoft, had I been aware of these tools, I could have, I mean, it's, the sky's the limit as to what the way I could have applied them as a developer.
Right. That's great. Do you find that WPA is useful for a lot of, what percentage of cases would you say you tend to kind of use it on in the enterprise space? Is it pretty common now, becoming more common?
It's interesting because the flow of cases comes in and it's the tool matches certain cases and it doesn't.
Yeah.
It also replaces some of our old strategies from time to time.
Yeah.
Meaning that we had old ways to accomplish the same tasks.
Right.
And they were unbelievably hard.
Yes.
And so we were talking about kern rate for high CPU on a box and trying to figure out how to parse that data.
Yeah.
It was absurd.
Yeah.
And it was a tough scenario, and this comes in and solves a whole new, I mean, it solves the old problems and gives us a chance to take a swag at issues we couldn't touch before. When it's 3-second hangs or really strange issues that you're like, I don't know where I would go with that before.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I'd say that's kind of our experience as well. And WPA I find much easier to use than the old XPerf as well. I mean,
yes.
Maybe that's just me, but it's,
yes, and you know, the, with that tool set as well, it just gets better and better with each release of the OS.
Right.
And that's the nice thing about it. As enterprises move to newer and newer releases of the OS, there are all these troubleshooting scenarios where now it makes more sense to use a tool like the Windows Performance Toolkit as opposed to doing our old standby and grabbing dumps of the machine,
yeah.
You know, and things of that nature.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Way less invasive, easy to roll out. I mean, we're talking about
taking
machines down versus watching them in flight.
Yeah. And that's probably another thing where, from that IT enterprise perspective, that's a very, very critical thing. In my role, you know, in the OEM space, we typically have an in-house machine. It's kind of in a lab environment. We can hook a debugger up or whatever we want to do. But when you're talking about a production server, you don't always have that option. In fact, you rarely have that option.
Right, and that's actually one of those little points of friction that has long existed between our group and the product group, because they are used to that environment.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes when we interface with them and they suggest doing something like putting the checked bits on a particular server, well, that's a non-starter, because that means bringing it out of production, introducing instability and things of those nature.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, we get questions a lot of times. I remember I did actually some enterprise support back before I moved to OEM, and there was always concerns too with, oh, we're gonna put checked bits on, is that gonna impact my server performance and how much? And
yes.
You know, what instrumentation we wanna do, and like, is that gonna bring me down? And it's sometimes hard to know that ahead of time as well.
The guy who wrote it doesn't know.
Yeah, yeah, we don't know. This, yes, it will impact your performance, but how, we don't know. Andrew's over here, and he's mentioning that the NT debug blog, the debugging, we should talk about that too, kind of put out a little pitch for that. That's something that our cross-site team is involved in putting out there. I know you guys have both done content for that.
Absolutely.
We can put a link to that out in the down in the show notes here below the video.
Pretty easy, blogs.msdn.com/ntdebugging.
Right.
Easy to remember.
But
you know, it's another unique facet of the folks on our team. Generally, most everybody on our team is good at writing. and good at conveying the message.
You have to be,
You know, in the past, seems like ancient history, I wrote a C-sharp book, Accelerated C-sharp 2000XX, mm-hmm. stopped at 2010. And so I did some content for the NT debugging blog. It felt very natural, you know. We also have some other guys in different groups, like Mario Hewitt, you mm-hmm. know, very similar kind of background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody, you know, so many people on our team are excellent presenters. Here's one of the best we have right here.
So many executive summary emails you can write, and you're like, that's a blog post.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Just reuse that content.
Take the from field out and just
it a
post
little bit.
It. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we talk about having openings on our team, and I would say that is kind of one of those key things that we look for in our hiring is somebody who's technical and smart and loves to learn and is willing to get in there and debug and use WPA or whatever tools. And also that communication piece is so critical. One of the things I find, I don't know about you guys, but dealing with developers, dealing with developers, for example, in the product group, a lot of times they're super smart coders and they are very good at doing what they do, but you get them on the phone with a customer and they're kind of difficult.
Well, if you talk to most dev managers out there in the world, they can very quickly and immediately partition their direct reports into a group of people that they feel completely comfortable in interfacing with the customer and a group that they would absolutely in no way allow within a certain radius of a customer.
Right.
And you know what? That doesn't speak at all to the skill
set. It's a different skill.
It's just the way it is. Yeah. And it doesn't mean one developer is better than the other. It's just it's just the way it is.
Yeah. And I would say that in our role, we do a lot of interfacing directly with customers. So it's one of those things that we look for. And maybe not, you know, sometimes we can be in the background and somebody else is actually talking and we're just doing the debugging, but there's
always... We have
always,
people skills,
there's
can't
always,
you see that?
There's always got to be those times when we're on the phone. And we do a lot of what are called crit sits, what we call crit sits, with critical situations. So that's like a server down or that kind of thing. And there's a lot of times where there's just no substitute for getting on the phone with a customer and helping them out. There's only so much you can do through email.
Part technical, part hostage negotiator.
Right.
And take the server off the edge, pull it down.
Well, absolutely.
It's true. Take the customer off the edge.
Yes, all of them. You know? Get off the edge then. We just want to talk.
You know, it's funny. I didn't, I know back when I was doing enterprise support at the time, a lot of what I kind of ended up for one reason or another, maybe because I was good at it, but I ended up in a lot of data recovery situations. My disk volume's gone. My file system won't mount. How do I get my files? And I'm freaking out. And a lot of those, you get to be a little bit of a psychologist or you get to be a therapist, I guess is the word I'm looking for in those situations where not only are you trying to solve the problem, but you also need to sort of manage, you know, okay, it's going to be okay. So, you know, right. We're going to get through this.
And if you're talking to the CTO, you might be a hostage negotiator.
Right. So we're making this sound like now no one's going to apply for these jobs. But no, really, it's actually fun.
Really, very entertaining.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have, I think, maybe some demos we can do on WPA. Maybe we should save that for next episode so as not to get this too scattered and long. Come back maybe next week and talk about some Windows Performance Analyzer, since that's what you guys are here to talk about at Tech Ready. So you got some material hopefully for that.
Absolutely.
Right on. So thanks everybody for watching Defrag Tools. If you have any questions, as always, put them in the show notes or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Thanks for watching.